Hello, hello. Good morning. No BS. Happy Saturday. Happy October. Happy fall. Oh, so many good things are happening around the world of no BS and the fall. Like, I gotta tell you, I honestly, October is my favorite month of the year. What's your favorite month of the year? So send me a note in the chat to tell me hello and what's your favorite month of the year? It's not even my birthday month. I just love October because there's like so much potential. There's so much happening. It's like you can just feel the anticipation in the air, like the weather's changing, the holidays are coming, football's happening. It's just amazing. Audrey likes April. Springtime is amazing. Yep, we've got some autumn. Rosita loves July. July also a good month. I mean, there's no bad months, of course, but it's just fun. Yeah, it's a great time of year. It's great to be here. It's great that you're here on our monthly reset call. So welcome. I'm Coach Lizzie, by the way. So glad that you're here. So come on, this is a live coaching call. So if you want to get coached on resetting, on like planning out, like how am I going to make some moves in the rest of the year, this month of this grand old month of October, go ahead and raise your hand. That's in the reactions little button there at the bottom, and we'll have some live coaching. So, I was just refreshing myself on how this reset call originally originated. And it, MJ started off these calls and she came up with this brilliant ABCDE. And shout out to Coach MJ, who is recovering well from her surgery. All the love to MJ. She's doing well. But anyway, the reset call is A. Let me pull up my notes here real quick. So A is assess. Basically, look back on the last month, look at your data and assess how did you do? B is be honest, no judgment. I really, really, really am a big fan of dropping the judgment because shame and judgment is like hitting the brakes on your progress. It is like just slowing down and kind of making everything just, screech to a screeching halt when you're judging yourself. So if you want to make progress, you've got to sort of loosen the reins on that judgment and just go, this is my data. This is what happened. I wonder what's going on. C is create a weight loss plan. So it's like, okay, this is how last month went. C is now we're kind of like transitioning towards the upcoming month. What is a little 1% tweak that I could make that could make an impact? We're just going to experiment, just some ideas. And D is like all about the do line in the model, like do, take action. So it's do you have a plan? And we can talk about this today. If you want to get coached, raise your hand and we can brainstorm 5, 7, 10 different ideas of do line actions. What can you try? What, do this, do that, do that. One at a time. We don't want to overwhelm. We don't want to get into, the scared shitless zone. We want to stay nice there in the growth zone or the discomfort zone. And then E is execute the plan one after another. Take some experiments and see what you can find out. And I love this idea because if you look at the A through E's, it's a lot like reflecting back and then looking forward. And, it's October, the holidays are coming up, the new year. And so every new year around late December, early January, I, since like 2014, have done sort of an assessment, and it's evolved over time for sure. But I'll look back on the year that was and reflect, and then I'll look ahead at the year coming up and some things that I'd like to accomplish, some things I'd like to, take care of for myself, maybe set a theme for the year. And this reset idea is a lot like that, but it's on a monthly basis instead of an annual basis. And what a great idea that you can just sort of reflect, how did the month go? Maybe there was some weird stuff going on. Maybe you had a hurricane in your backyard. For those who are affected, absolutely sending prayers. And so that could be, some strange stuff going on in the last month. Maybe you had other things going on. And then how do I want to move forward with this year, excuse me, this month? And then we can kind of take it in bite-sized pieces. So we've already got Jackie has raised her hand. I love that. And so I'm going to see if I can remember how to promote to panelists and figure out how to do that. We're going to have Jackie chat and we're just going to get to coaching. We're going to do a little assessing and moving forward to making a plan for next month. So there we go. Good morning, Jackie. If you could unmute yourself, that would make our conversation go great.
Thank you.
You bet.
I've only ever been on live once, so I'm not very good at this, but I don't really have a problem, but I wanted to share some reset successes with you that I've had. I
Yeah.
contacted you a little while ago about changing my relationship with alcohol. Did your chart work and found out that I had to have extensive lung surgery and decided that I wanted to change my future.
Wow.
I want to live a long time. And so I have revamped my whole drinking pattern. On Wednesday nights, I like to watch this one TV show. So I have a glass of wine when I watch that TV show. And I'm down to about possibly one drink a month, a week.
Wow.
So, and I would think I was so worried about my surgery that I'm up 10 pounds from when I first got to my goal. And I've been trying to lose that 10 pounds for a while. And since surgery, I've lost 5 pounds.
Wow.
And
Okay.
I haven't really changed my eating pattern, but I think my body just released all the deep-seated, scared, nervous feelings that I had about surgery. And
Wow.
so I'm just real pleased. And when I got on and I was 145, which is the top of my maintenance range, I was like, I hope I'm okay because this guy, it's nervous when you've
Yeah.
tried to lose weight and you can't, and then all of a sudden you lose
Yeah.
5 pounds really fast. So, but I'm doing well. I'm sorry, I just got done walking. So surgery
Okay.
went really well, but I wanted to thank you for being there and supporting me and giving me ideas and being my backup and just how glad I am. I like to read what people say. I don't post a lot and I don't talk a lot. I like to listen to people get coached. So, and it's
Yeah.
amazing how you'll go, oh, I'm going to leave. And then all of a sudden the person will say one thing and you go, oh, that's really what I needed to hear today. So anyway, I wanted to tell you thank you and how much I appreciate that you've given me some reset buttons and strategies that have really worked.
Wow, Jackie, thank you. I'm really honored. I really receive what you said. And just for those of everybody else who's on this call or who might be listening to a replay, can you really elaborate on what are the things that helped you reset, whether it was in your actions
Well,
or mindset?
I think it was, I knew I was drinking too much. I really like red wine. I'm sorry.
I do
And two
too.
glasses go down really easily, and that third glass goes down, and then MJ talks about your brain goes into, oh, I can eat whatever I want. I've had three glasses of wine. And just I want to be here. I have little grandkids and I'm 70 and I just want to be here past 88.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
my mom died at 73 from cancer, and so that number's really worrisome. I want to get, my aunt said that one day. She said, I broke the 73. And then everybody else dies at 88. So I want to be here for the long run. And I knew that if I continued to do that, my liver might not hold up, I
Okay.
mean, so I'm feeling I'm much better off now.
Amazing. But really, like, let's really get granular. What either did you need to shift in your thinking or in your actual tangible actions that helped you make that shift?
It was just basically a habit. And
Okay.
now the thing, I don't hear my brain say, oh, ask if you're hungry, ask if you really want that. I never hear that. I
Yeah.
have to literally stop myself from getting up and walking into the kitchen and getting another glass of wine. And boxes of wine are the worst to have in the house
Okay.
because it just goes down too easy.
Right.
So you really have to, and it wasn't that I'm trying to restrict, but I just don't need it every day. And
Okay.
so I that kind of settled into my brain, and it's kind of like, do I really need a snack at night? No. But if I drink wine, I like cheese and crackers. And so it all turns, it's hand in hand in hand with itself. So
Okay.
I never think I have a real strong willpower, but at the same time, I knew I could do it. Because I really didn't start drinking more than I needed to till the last. And we live in Georgia part-time and we live in Nebraska part-time, and all my friends are in Nebraska and I'm lonely.
Yeah.
Which is why No BS is so good, because
yeah.
And silly videos and cooking things. You know, I don't have a lot of friends down here. So deep inside, I think I was really lonely. And I think that was a lot of it.
So I hear you saying that drinking two or three plus glasses of wine was a habit. And you also noticed that when you had two or three, then the snacking began to kind of come in play as well. And so when you recognize it was a habit and you never had the thought of like, am I hungry? Or of course, we're never hungry for a glass.
Nope.
But we want it. So how did you put in that pause? Like we talk about sometimes pause plus permission, or just how did you give yourself some breaks to sort of slow down and be like, is this something I need right now?
I started with the snacking.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing your chart for how the wine tasted, mm-hmm. and I just kind of said, okay, so we've got to make some decisions here. Do you really need this? No, I don't. And so I could go, I just didn't have I have a low battery. Sorry, girl.
It's okay. We're still here.
Let me plug this in quick.
Keep talking.
I'm making you dizzy. I just told myself that I don't need this every night.
Uh-huh.
I just simply said, and I do now, I do plan, and I don't know necessarily or write my every night, write my plan down, but mm-hmm. I know exactly what I'm having for dinner. I know exactly what I'm having for breakfast and lunch. And I think that's what I love the most about planning is I don't have to write it down, but not having to think about dinner every single night. And so some nights I'll plan a crackers and cheese, and some nights I'll plant, like the other night I had a root beer float.
Mm-hmm.
And the root beer had been sitting in the refrigerator for 2 or 3 days because I'd eaten a lot for dinner. And I thought, when I decided if I wanted it at 8 o'clock, I wasn't hungry. So mm-hmm. I was able to make that conscious decision then. And okay. So that's just, it's just practice. You know, and because I don't hear a lot of negative talk or talk in my brain at all, sometimes it's kind of confuses me that, why am I not hearing that? And everybody else, other people seem to be hearing it all the time. And maybe it's, I just don't talk to myself, but it's bringing it to my conscious level, I think, that helps me. No, I really don't need that. Or I'll have one little piece of chocolate. Last night I told my husband, I said, sometimes you just have to have a little tiny piece of chocolate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, so I went in, we were babysitting. I went in and I got a little tiny handful of mini M&Ms. And that's all it took.
Yeah.
It wasn't the whole bag. I never binge. I'm not a binger.
Mm-hmm. And so for those of you who are listening, I see Nancy said, like, tell us about the chart. So what Jackie's referring to is basically a modified version of the Fuck It Foods worksheet. And the Fuck It Foods worksheet, I'll go ahead and put that link into the chat, can be so, so helpful, whether you have almost a trigger food that you're like, I'm a little bit worried that it's going to have power over me. But the Fuck It Foods worksheet can be great for a habit. So I used it myself for wine, because like Jackie was describing, I have a habit of having a glass or two of wine every night. And like, sometimes I'm like, do I really need that much? And so I have tried loads of different things of like minimizing the amount and so forth. And every single thing I tried felt like a diet, felt like restriction. And my inner six-year-old was like, you can't tell me what to do. And so I was like, if for those of you who know me, like I love experiments. I am a former science teacher. I just know that if I tell my brain, we're going to experiment with this, we're going to try something, then my inner six-year-old is curious instead of like whiny and digging in her heels. And so basically I used the Fuck It Foods worksheet and I modified it a little bit, but it was like, does this bite, or in my case, sip of wine, taste better, the same, or not as good as the last one? And I just did it nice and slow. And what I began to learn was that my first 5-ish sips of wine were definitely hitting the button. Like, I'm getting all the dopamine. 5 to 8-ish sips, it was neutral. And after 9, it was less, like not as good as the previous sip. And that just gave my brain a chance to slow down with this habit and be like, is this habit as rewarding as I think it is? And wine can be really tricky because, just as you said, like when, you know, MJ said that, you know, you have more wine and your judgment begins to adjust a little bit. So anyway, that's a little bit of an explanation of what Jackie's talking about when she says the chart. So,
and I never, very seldom, I should say, emotionally eat, but I emotionally drink. And I'll get triggered by something, a commercial on TV, a TV show where, you know, they're having a glass of wine and it's, oh, that looks really good. Maybe I'll go, you know, there are all these external triggers that can really get you into, oh yeah, that does sound good. And so it's just that, and I even told my aunt once, who has not drank for years, that I got triggered by TV commercials. She goes, oh, that's not good. That is a trigger. That's the point right there where you really need to watch. And addiction runs high in my family. So I want to be able to drink. I don't want to not ever drink again, but it's just gotten so much better.
So amazing.
And well, I think because I plug in alcohol all the time. When Corinne's talking and MJ's talking, I almost everything I plug in with wine.
Amazing.
It's just not food. I've never been an overeater. Now I can eat a whole bag of potato chips. I can eat a whole bag of Cheez-Its. In fact,
Jackie, I would ask, like, I love that you brought this up, and it's so helpful to hear somebody who's like, I've implemented some strategies and here's how it's helped me. So if you were giving advice to a no BS woman who either specifically is like, how do I drink less wine, or how do I adjust my habit of eating after dinner every night? What is one piece of advice you would give that no BS woman?
Never buy a box wine. buy small bottles. You can get, I just got a shipment. I've got to get rid of this shipment of wine that comes, but they're single glass bottles.
So moderate your portions.
Yeah. And that's a lot of it. And it's so easy with the bottles and the boxes to just go whole hog. And pretty soon you don't even realize that you've had five glasses with this much wine in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like somebody that binge, once they start eating Oreos and they can't stop. That's never been my problem. But yeah, I'm so glad that the little things I've done really have helped. And I don't want to take up too much time for everybody, because I know sometimes I'm a chatterer when I get nervous. But
I really want to highlight what you just said.
Right.
Everybody listen what she just said. The little things I've done really helped.
And it is. I write BB all the time. Bites behind, bites behind, bites behind. But sometimes when I'm eating something that's really small, I don't want to leave any bites behind. But I think it's what I'm eating is working. I think there was just a whole lot of stress involved for the last few months, knowing that I had to have surgery. And that really, because I've talked to people and I said, when you're stressed out, it just, your body just holds on to everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad the surgery went well. I'm so glad you're on the mend and, you know, continued recovery for you. And as always, please reach out to me and ask coaches anytime.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you so much. You just,
Jackie?
Yeah, you just don't know. Everybody is really, but you're just one of my faves.
Thanks, Jackie. Back at you.
You're welcome. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye. All right. We're going to change role to attendee. And then we've got Laura's iPad. We're going to promote to panelists and have some coaching, and we'll go from there. So yeah, I would just really encourage you all, use the Fuck It Foods worksheet, whether it's on a specific food or a habit, like print out 7 of them and do the Fuck It Foods worksheet 7 days in a row on a habit that you have. And just like, again, do an experiment and say, I'm just going to experiment with the Fuck It Foods worksheet on my habit of eating after dinner. I'm going to do it for 7 days and just see what happens. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same food. It could be on the habit, and just practice. And again, like when you take on that mindset of the scientist of let's just see, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but certainly in my brain, my inner 6-year-old is like, okay, I'll try that instead of like, you can't tell me what to do. So awesome. Give that a shot. Well, hi, Laura.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm okay. I wanted to let you know that I'm joining Debbie Lurvy's book club and reading your book.
Exciting. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we catching on today?
I bought it a month or two ago, and I've been working my way through it. So I'm really looking forward to the book club.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Yeah. So what are we coaching on today? You want to talk about some reset action steps?
Yeah, I had a, well, I need to do a discovery worksheet today.
Okay.
Last night we went out with some friends and I did really well. I ordered, a salad with grilled chicken and then, I heard they had the clam chowder. So I got a cup of that. That was off plan. And then I had previously put ahead of time what my drinks were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over that.
Okay. Okay.
Quite a bit. So
all good.
I have to kind of delve into that.
Do you want to walk through that together?
Okay.
Awesome.
I don't have the printed discovery sheet next to
not
me.
Not to worry. I'll walk you through it. So if we were to use the A, B, C, D, E, you just gave us a little bit of an assessment that you had went out to dinner and you had a plan. You got your chicken and an off plan with the soup as well as the drinks. So that was just our assessment. So that's A for assessment. B is be honest. You were already honest. And a very important aspect of being honest is no judgment. No judgment. Nights like that happen. I'm going to guess you were out with other people.
Yeah, there were six of us, and it was kind of the end of the summer time here on the river.
Yeah.
And everybody's going back home, and then we'll get together again next May.
Yeah.
For the
and
summer.
So one of the things that I've been talking about with one of my clients is, you know, there's the many holidays are coming up, but this week currently is a part of the Jewish holidays. And one of the things we've been really talking about is being other people when there's food, and it can be really challenging to be present with your food or your plan and just kind of like, am I full? Am I at enough? Or, you know, it's really hard when there's other people, when you're celebrating. And so we can just kind of have compassion for your experience last night and be like, well, that kind of makes sense. Sometimes it's hard to stay on plan when there's other people around. Yeah.
Yeah. For me up here, it's, I'm in Montana, and we've decided to be snowbirds and go back down to Carlsbad, California for the winter and come back up in April. So this whole summer, I have not really been isolating, but I've been busy with the family. Our daughter took on a remote job, so her she had like a half hour dinner break. So we stay home every night and cook. My mm-hmm. husband cooks for us. I'm lucky. He makes dinner. And this way, she gets a good dinner. And we get that half hour with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't been socializing all summer. And a lot of people along the river are very busy, you know, company traveling and all that. And we've only done a little bit of that. So we've been home. So it's been kind of lonely. So last night was really unusual to go out for me. And, you know, I figured I would have two glasses of wine with dinner. And then I thought I did well on dinner because I just ate the soup and I saved the salad for today. So it's a nice salad with grilled chicken.
Nice.
So I did well there, and I did the two glasses of wine.
Okay.
And then we went back to their house and played a card game,
mm-hmm.
and I had an additional glass of wine. And then, of course, you have to try their new tequila. So,
of course, yeah.
Of course, as you do, as one does.
So if you were talking to your accountability partner, and she had an evening like you had, and she was sort of reflecting back on it, What questions would you ask your accountability partner to sort of help her let go of any judgment, but also learn from it and be like, what adjustments might you make if there was a similar situation in the future?
Well, I don't drink that often anymore. I'll have an occasional little sipping shot of tequila with my husband. We usually are celebrating something politically.
This is
but
season.
so I don't drink a lot at all.
Okay. So it sounds like it was a
So I
pretty
feel
unusual circumstance.
yeah, so what I would tell my accountability partners, I've got two separate ones. It was just I kind of just went with the flow, and it's weird because that's a lot to drink for me, but I didn't feel drunk at all.
Okay.
I
Just
feel
curious.
a little scratchy this morning with my throat, but I took some Tylenol and I drank water in between each glass
Nice.
of wine.
So you were still present. So when you may when you pivoted, you had a plan and you pivoted. Did you like your reasons, or was it just sort of in the moment, not a ton of awareness?
I liked my reasons because the place we went to, there was music to listen to, and this clam chowder, they only serve it on Friday nights, and it's really good. And I had a cup, not a bowl, so I thought that was a good choice.
Nice.
So I liked the reasons. They weren't excuses, they were reasons.
Well,
Kind
reasons
of.
are th that's a little bit of like when we talk about excuses versus reasons. Reasons are like, if I gave you $50,000, could you figure out a way around it? And a reason is like, no, I would do this again. For example, you went off plan because your child was on the emergency or going to the emergency room. Like, no, you're not going to give me $50,000 and I'll not take my child to the emergency room. Whereas, liking your reasons for a pivot is a little bit different, in that I am in control of my choices, and it's we're not necessarily addressing excuses. It's more like this is a choice rather than an excuse.
Oh, okay. So I made a different choice.
Fair enough. Tell me this. You said the clam chowder only is served on Fridays. So in the future, I recognize it's the end of the season and so forth, but next summer, when you're planning to go out to this place on Friday, would you plan the clam chowder?
Definitely.
Okay. So there's an opportunity. Like if we were sort of verbally doing the discovery worksheet, that's something that you could learn from this of like, oh, okay. So next time we go to this particular place, I'm maybe going to plan for 3/4 of my chicken plus the clam chowder. Like that's going to be on my plan, or sort of make an adjustment so that the clam chowder is, it feels special. You can get it any Friday, but like that's what you want to choose for your dinner type of thing. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I did choose the salad with the grilled chicken, and I left the blue cheese dressing in the cup, and I just kind of dipped a little
Nice.
bit at a time. I didn't just smother it. So I thought that was a good little technique that I
Yeah, and that is a
used.
1% level up choice. That is awesome. Just as Jackie was saying a minute ago, like little things can make a difference for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Similarly, let's take it beyond the restaurant. So you went back to your friend's house, and do I recall you said like they played a game or there was
A
something?
card game. Yeah, it was not cards. It was a dice game.
Fun.
And they have a lot
So,
of wine, so they have a wine cooler. So they always
So
buy wine.
in the future, let's say next summer, if you go out with these same friends or, potentially other friends might say, hey, let's go back to our house and play a card game or a dice game. Would you plan for if we go home to someone's house and play, I want to have this much more wine? Or would you plan if we go to someone's house after dinner, I want to have no alcohol. What would you plan for in the future if a similar situation came along?
I think what I would have planned was one glass of wine at the bar and then one at the house.
Okay.
So that would have still been two.
Okay.
Like I did two at the bar and one at the house. So I would cut the quantity down.
Nice. So you're already learning from this evening and you're using it as an advantage, as your stepping stone, which I'm going to circle back to that concept in just a minute. But before we wrap up our sort of verbal walkthrough of a discovery worksheet, did you know last night that after dinner you all will be going back to their house, or was that sort of impromptu?
That was impromptu.
So it's understandable that, 5 p.m. Laura yesterday didn't know that there was after dinner plans, and so she wanted to have two glasses of wine at the bar.
Right.
Totally makes sense. Now we're going to learn from yesterday, Laura, moving forward in the future, whether it's next weekend or next summer, how might you anticipate or just kind of gauge the, I guess, the temperature of the evening with friends to see if there might be an after restaurant, after dinner hangout later?
Well, these are our next door neighbors, and they've been playing this dice game for years. And it's more than likely it would have ended up at their house if they weren't tired, and they felt like having people back over. But they're famous for this dice game.
All right. So again, kind of good to know, like file that away. So next summer, if you're going out to dinner with these particular friends, you could either anticipate, hey, there might be some after dinner dice game, or you could just ask, hey, how are you guys feeling? Do you think we'll go back and play dice later? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I would feel very comfortable asking that.
Okay. And then that could help you make your plan. Do I want to have two glasses of wine at the bar and then more later? Or do I want to kind of pace myself and have one at the bar, knowing that we're probably going back for dice games, have one there later? And if there's a special tequila, maybe I can call an audible, in the moment. How's that
That
sound?
sounds good.
Okay, great. And so for everybody listening and for Laura, what we just did was we kind of walked through a discovery worksheet together verbally. But what I said a minute ago is she's using last night's off-plan eat not as a way to shame herself, not as a way to judge herself and be like, oh man, the whole week is ruined, I suck, none of that. Instead, this is a great learning opportunity. Now Laura has a plan for next weekend or next summer, and she's basically preparing her future self to be ready to follow her plan. And so when listen to what I'm about to say. When you have an off-plan eat, it is not something to just get over. It is not something to brush aside. It's definitely not something to judge yourself over. It is the necessary stepping stones in your weight loss journey. They are required. An analogy that I love is like a surfer. So someone who's learning to surf falls off the board a lot. And to an outside observer, you can be like, boy, they're failing all over the place. I definitely have done that. I've tried surfing. It's not my thing. But to get better at surfing, every fall, every wipeout is not a mistake, is not a waste. It is learning. They are learning, oh, if I do this differently, I'll stay on the board. If I tweak there, if I look that way, I'll do better. And so off-plan moments are not mistakes. They're the absolutely essential stepping stones required to make progress in your weight loss journey if you look at it that way. Versus if you look at it as a way to just beat yourself over the head. So thank you for that opportunity, Laura, to walk through that.
Thank you. Now it's going to be a lot easier to fill it out.
Yeah, excellent. Absolutely. Is there anything else you'd like us to talk through while we're on the line together?
No, I think that will be it. I'm looking forward to finishing your book. I've
Thank
already
you.
I'm a few chapters in already, and I just love it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And
It's so well written.
oh, thank you. Well, now that I had a busy couple of months, I'm sort of turning my attention towards the next one. So stay
Oh, great.
tuned.
I'll buy that one for sure.
Thank you so much. Well, I really appreciate you raising your hand and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. Fantastic. Okay. And now we're going to call up Lori Lewis and promote her to panelist. After Lori, we don't have anybody else who's raised their hand. Oops, we got a question in the Q&A. Real quick. Luann says, would you modify what you eat every night to do the modified FOCA Foods worksheet, or just do it how you normally would eat and answer the questions? I think I know the answer now that I'm asking. So basically the question is, if going back to when I was speaking to Jackie, if you're going to do the experiment of 7 days in a row of a FOCA food worksheets, would you change the food every night? Here's my advice, Luann. If you are working on a specific food, let's say ice cream, like I have ice cream every night after dinner, it's my thing, then I would stick with that food and just do 7 days in a row of the FOCA Foods worksheet. If it's not always a specific food, it's just like I snack after dinner, and can it be different foods? It just depends on what I'm in the mood for. Then I would say do whatever food you would like, but use the FOCA Foods worksheet as you're snacking on whatever that food is. So it can work with a specific food as well as just like this time of night is when I tend to snack, and whatever the food I'm snacking on, I can use the FOCA Foods worksheet on that. So great. Thanks for that question. And hey, Lori, how you
Hey
doing?
there. Good. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Can you hear my dogs? They're excited about something.
No.
Oh,
And I'm on
that's good.
the porch moved in because my husband's working outside.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want coaching on, I've done really well all summer. I learned a lot at camps. I'm about to change locations and I'm going to be on my own for about a month. And
Okay.
I'm a little concerned that I'm gonna start binging or let the eating get, or drinking get out of control while I'm on my own. I tend to do better when my husband's around. But
You.
I heard you coaching about the 10 things to try, so I started a list.
Love it.
But I'd like to just make sure talk through some of these. So the first one was I love when I'm down in my new location, I love doing projects. There's this lady I go to, she's actually a clothing shop, but she also taught me mosaics. And so I'm thinking I could pick a new mosaic project. I really wanted to do house numbers and do my mosaics. I thought that would be one thing I would love doing. And she and I just love the time with her. So I think that would be one thing to do and not keep get in trouble. I also don't know a whole lot of my neighbors down there. So I'm thinking maybe I can just meet more neighbors. So that would be one thing. Keeping protein that I love on hand because I tend to do better when I eat protein first. In the morning, all of my meals, but I tend to do better with protein first, including my snacks. So my snack might be a yogurt or cottage cheese with fruit, but I tend to do better when I pair something with protein.
Okay.
Planning to cook smaller meals, that's really hard for me. I have, when I cook for my family, I cook humongous meals and I send all the leftovers home. Now I got to learn to cook for one. That's very different for me. So I have
Okay.
to, if I'm going to make it for two, just cut the portions in half or save some and freeze it or save it for a future meal. But that's going to be really hard, or share it with my neighbors. So,
Okay.
right. So, things I can do, inviting a neighbor or friend or relative for dinner. So, I have family down there, so I could include them. I don't know. I have to think about that though, because that might just give me more stress. Because then I got to clean, I
Good to think about
got
that.
to care. Yeah. So, I may not do that one. One is just take a walk. So I live in an area that's relatively flat. I can walk to the beach and back. It's a mile. It's a great walk. So I'm thinking I could do that more often. But also I have to think about what happens if the weather's not great. Because I'm understanding there's a huge storm coming right now. So
Okay.
I have to think about that too. So pedicure might be an option. Schedule a haircut, that kind of thing. I'm also going to look for a gym down there because I started doing the gym over the summer and I love it. I don't have a gym there. So I'm going to start looking for a new gym that I could go to and work out. I love working out my arms and my core.
Nice.
I'll focus on that. Checking out new beaches. There's all kinds of beaches down there that I have never been to. So just explore new ones, right? So
Okay.
that's a new thing. Keeping the fresh veggies in the fridge. Just because it's always good for me, just prepare them. So when I buy them, get them ready to use right away. And then I can just go. There's a really good movie theater down there that I love, so I can always just go to a movie if it's a crappy day. And there was one more thing I wrote down. Oh, just read a book. So I bought a bunch of like organizing books because there's a lot of clutter in the house. I have to go through my wardrobe and purge. So that could be a project just by itself, right? Not nude beaches, Karen Brint. There is one there, but no, I don't go to nude beaches. I saw
Way to bring the sauce, Karen.
No, I said new NEW beaches. So, and I've invited friends to come visit. So far, nobody's committed. So that might be another thing. But I'm going through a lot of changes right now. My good friend is moving to Georgia. So, I won't see her as much. So, I'm going through a lot of changes just emotionally and changes.
Okay.
I can work anywhere, so I can always work, but I don't
Right.
want to work so much. So,
Yeah.
anyway, so those are things I came up with. But do you have any other great ideas for me?
Well, I've got some. We can determine if they're great or not.
Okay.
But first, Lori, I want to pause and just for everybody listening, kind of spell out what Lori has done. And so Diane was asking, like, what are the 10 things? And so Diane, in the reset process, we got A, B, C, D, E is basically assess, be honest, how are things going? So Lori has assessed, like kind of looking forward, I'm going to be in a different location. I'm going to be by myself. And so she's helping to prepare herself in advance. She knows that, she knows herself that she's worried that she might binge, might overdrink a little bit. And so that's what kind of her assessment is. And then the C and D is basically create a plan. And then, get do for do D is like lots of do line actions. So Diane, that's the 10 things. Brainstorm 10 ideas, 10 things you can do to help you with that. And then E is execute. And so, Lori, amazing job with these 10 ideas. This is so great. What I would love to help you with is let's narrow down some of the things that when you know yourself best, when you feel the urge to binge or eat more than you want, or perhaps drink more than you want, what are the themes, or kind of like what are the typical times of day? What are the environments? When does that happen? And maybe we can brainstorm ideas around like those moments.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be in the evening after I've had dinner. I'm by myself. I'm lonely. I just watched the news. I'm almost ready for bed, but not quite. And I just that's when I might get into trouble with the wine. So I am bringing some of my favorite wine down, but I can limit myself to one glass. I also have an internal rule that I don't drink any wine till I've had at least 64 ounces of water.
Nice.
So that's just one for me. And then also really limiting my wine to Thursday, Friday, Saturday only. So just the weekends. But for me, it's just making sure I don't overdo the wine. Because if I'm there by myself, oh, I got more. I can just take the open bottle and keep drinking. So
Okay. Gotcha.
yeah, so I think that's going to be my trouble spot. I'm
Okay.
definitely a sweet eater, but it's funny because I'll have it in the house and then not want it. So then I end up throwing it out. So
Okay.
I'm definitely a little bit of a food scarcity person. I don't really know why, but that's something I learned at camp, right? Is that's definitely me. And so I can do better about purging my kitchen and not let it sit in the kitchen because then it's just a temptation. And to put this into perspective, guys, I have lost 185 pounds and kept it off. So
Lori, wow.
myself pretty well, but I really still want to keep going. So for me, it's just okay, stay on a roll. Keep myself active, keep doing what I need to do so that I can get. I want, first of all, I want to get back to the last 15, which is what I had regained over the past year.
Okay.
And then after that, I can keep going.
Okay. Amazing. So thank you for telling me about like when you feel like there are kind of your more vulnerable zones. It's the time of day, it's after dinner. You mentioned you may have just watched the news. You can tell me if that's a triggering thing or not, if it's just habit. Again, I love all your 10 ideas, and I have a couple of additions of things we could talk about with that, but specifically related to, I'm alone, it's after dinner, I'm feeling lonely, and I might be tempted to have another glass of wine. So we can address two of those pieces. Number one, loneliness, and number two, wine specifically. How would you feel about us brainstorming a couple of ideas on those two topics?
Sounds good.
Amazing. So loneliness, some do line actions you could do if you're feeling lonely. text a friend. So like, let's just say you happen to recognize, I feel lonely, I want to have another glass of wine. You could play a game with yourself. Before I have another glass of wine, I'm going to challenge myself to text three friends. There's a do line action.
Also have Marco Polos too. So I might just Marco Polo somebody.
Yeah.
I have amazing accountability partners. So uh-huh. I might just say, hey guys, I recorded this and I'm just telling you, you don't have to respond, but I just want to let you know I'm a little lonely tonight and just wanted to let you know.
Beautiful. So there's another idea. So first was text some people. Second was reach out to your accountability group and share with them how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. This sounds goofy, but it works, is looking at pictures of baby animals or beautiful scenery
okay.
actually like changes your neurochemistry and helps you feel better. So that can be something to do. You can call somebody, like actually have a conversation. You could just take 5 minutes and list out gratitudes. I'm grateful for the people in my life, for mm-hmm. this person and for and a reason why. This person and reason why. So you're still not necessarily with them, but you're bringing the emotions of those relationships into your forefront of your attention and your chemistry. And that
so I just want to so I do send three things I'm grateful for to one of my accountabilities every single night.
Amazing.
And we ask each other, what do we need to for support? And she needs support with nighttime eating, and I need support with some other areas. So we just talk about, we just do that as part of our gratitude. So that's
beautiful.
Been very helpful.
Yeah. And that brought up another idea, is you could post in the No BS Facebook group if you were feeling lonely and just say, hey team, this is what's going on for me tonight. You know, you could encourage someone else in the Facebook group. You could put in a inspiring message, or you could say, I'm feeling lonely. Who else is on Facebook right now? You could do a Facebook challenge of like, challenge, send pictures of your pets, go.
I can't have pets and I would love to have pets. So maybe I'll go borrow a neighbor's pet.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So those are just a couple of, you know, easy ideas. You don't have to do all of them. It's just like pick and choose. If you notice you're feeling lonely and you're feeling tempted to continue eating, how about we transition to talking about wine specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So one thing that I do, wine is my trigger food, for lack of a better word. And that is definitely something I have been working on, continue to work on. By no means have it knocked or, but I have made progress. And so one thing that I sometimes will practice is I will literally write on the palm of my hand the word quantify. You can use whatever word makes sense for you, but it's, to me, what it says is, Lizzie, I've got this reminder right here in my hand. Quantify the discomfort you will feel in the next 5 minutes of saying no to the next glass of wine. Like, that's uncomfortable. However, compared to the discomfort I would feel tomorrow with the regret and the why did I do that again? And now I kind of don't feel so great. That discomfort is way bigger. And so if I just have this little reminder on my hand, quantify the discomfort, is way littler. It's much smaller in the moment than it is tomorrow. But I need a reminder. Like, if I don't have something to remind me, I'm just going to be like, of course I want more. So that's something that I use. Obviously, does that bring up any ideas for you?
Yeah, it does actually. And the other thing, I think one of the big drivers for me drinking is work stress. And so I just have to learn to have a time after work, think through what am I dealing with for work that's causing the stress, maybe mm-hmm. journal, right? So I think journaling helps me a lot.
Yeah.
I think that will help me a whole lot. So also I signed up for a private coach, actually not with NoBS, but I found her through NoBS. So
fantastic.
I think it's also going to help. I might work with her on that as well. Also maybe I can get a group of ladies that are in my area together in NoBS. So that would
wow.
be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
ladies,
what I heard,
Eastern Coast, Florida, like the middle of the state, let me know.
I may have been speaking over you. Do you mind repeating that so everyone can hear you?
Yeah. So I'm near like the Port St. Lucie Stewart area. So if anybody else is close to that and you want to get together and have a cup of coffee or glass of water, get together, reach out to me on Facebook.
Fantastic. And so going back to the idea of wine, you could, you said you wanted to limit yourself to a certain number. And so again, you could have an agreement with yourself of, I'm just going to fill in numbers. If I've had two and I want to have a third, maybe I can, but before I do, I'm going to journal.
Okay.
Or I'm gonna, just write out what happened at work today and what might be on my mind that's making me want to have more. And that brings up kind of a third topic we could delve into is stress and just sort of proactively taking actions to manage stress, because stress is part of our lives. Like this, it's not, we're not looking for a stress-free life, but we're looking for ways to manage it in a way that is healthy. So what ideas do you have that you could use to proactively manage stress?
Well, one thing is the Kathy technique, hand on heart, close my eyes and have deep breaths. That helps a lot. So that helps me a lot. Just to take that moment. Also, I do this a lot, but call my manager and vent.
All right.
Now that
Yeah.
helps me a lot because, and honestly, sometimes they'll say, oh, I'll call so and so and get them off your back. Well, no, that's not why I called you. I just wanted to vent.
Right.
So
Yeah.
that helps a lot. I guess just, maybe stepping back and Corinne had coached me on this a while ago, but she said, what are you making this mean about you? Because for me, it was always, okay, now I'm failing at my job. I'm horrible. No, I'm not. I was making this mean all the worst things about me and it had nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to do my job, right? So thinking, just reminding myself, maybe I'll watch that coaching session and
You
just
know what?
step back
I
and
love, love, love that you said that, because one of the tools, kind of in line with journaling, but one of the tools that I use sometimes to manage stress, particularly this is so like hand on the heart is sort of first aid. So I like to almost create like a toolbox. And so hand on the heart is first aid. There's some breathing techniques you can do. So that's sort of like instant in the moment, quick fix. But if there's something that's really bugging me and I've been like perseverating or ruminating on it, there are three questions you can ask yourself that can really just help you recognize what's going on in your brain. So I'm going to put this in the chat, but for those of you listening, here it is. It's question number one is, what's the story I'm telling myself about this? So XYZ happened at work. This is going to be so much work extra. And like, oh my God, now my whole week is ruined, yada, yada, yada. That's question number one. What is the story I'm telling myself? Question number two is, what am I making that mean? And you can elaborate on like, what am I making that mean about me? What am I making that mean about other people? What am I making that mean about the future? My brain loves to make anything mean. I'm going to get fired. It's for sure. I'm definitely getting fired.
You're not getting fired.
I certainly hope not. But like, that is the sort of knee-jerk, like favorite response of my brain. And when I can recognize, oh, I'm making this little thing mean I'm going to get fired. Well, of course I'd be stressed about that. And then I can kind of bring in my rational side and be like, I don't think I'm going to get fired. It's going to be okay. Or what are you making that mean about other people? She hates me. He thinks I'm a terrible employee, whatever it is. What am I making that mean about the future? Corinne talks about like, I'm going to be living in a shack down by the river. The whole business is going to be burned to the ground. What am I making that mean about the future? And so when you can kind of get clear and get your hands around the story, the freaking out story that's going on a little bit below the surface, you can be like, oh, okay, yeah, I would be, anxious about that. And that's actually not likely. It's extremely unlikely. And even if the thing that you're making it mean has some likelihood, then you could say, all right, well, let's make a plan for that. Just in case I got fired, what would I do then?
I
It's
would
not
just
likely, but yeah.
retire.
Okay. Yeah. And so even though it's not likely, you can kind of give yourself your brain a like, if this happens, then here we will do XYZ. And that can settle down the temperature, because then you're like, well, at least we have a plan. And then the last question is, what am I afraid of? And so I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid, One time, I won't go into the details, but one time I asked myself these three questions and it was around a family issue. And what I turned out that I was afraid of, that I was completely blind to, I was afraid that my son was going to turn into my brother, which is not something I would like to have happen. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course I'm freaking out. And then it helped me realize my son is a completely different person. It's just, I can let go of some of that stress and just love my son and my child for who he is, rather than being afraid he's going to turn into somebody he's rarely even met. So anyway,
Yeah,
those are three questions.
I'm afraid of not having health care, and I already made a decision. I'm just going to look at options now and see what's there. So,
Yeah.
in worst case, I'm going to just pick ABC instead of staying here. So,
Oh
that's
yeah.
Okay, so I know other people who have retired early and they just found other health care. So I was making it bigger in my head than I needed to.
And that's what brains do. They freak out. They're looking for problems. And so those three questions can help you identify what is the problem my brain is creating and how can I, create a plan to bring down the temperature a little bit so that I don't end up turning to the pantry or the box of wine in the fridge. And then tomorrow I'm like, why did I do that again?
Thank you. Thank you. And I have a whole list of remaining action items to do from camp. So I'll work on those as well. And a whole
Fantastic.
list of topics to journal on. So I have no excuses. I have time now to sit and work on them.
Well, Lori, we've got about 5 minutes and nobody else has raised their hand. Do you mind if I interview you a little bit just for the
No, that's
benefit of you?
fine. Go for it.
So you have lost 185 pounds. Just wow. Everybody, can we get some reactions in the chat for Lori? Like, wow, that is amazing.
Thank you.
If you were to give an OBS woman some advice, whether she has 100 pounds to lose or 20 pounds to lose, whatever, what advice would you give them?
Well, for me, what really helped was trying to figure out why I was eating to begin with, changing my thoughts from really negative to positive, right? And I still do that. Our brains always think that way, but I'm doing much better with it. The three things of gratitude every night really helped me to focus on the positives. I created my own plan and I added a couple of things in there. One was what makes me proud every day and what made me smile today. And that helps a lot. Walking helps me a lot. It's not the walking and the movement, but to me, it just helps clear my brain. And I get out and outside. And I got to tell you, I have some amazing accountability partners who Marco Polo me every morning on their walk. And that gives me inspiration to say, okay, they can do it. Now I got to get off my butt and do the same.
Nice.
So that really helps me a lot. Because, well, I'll just share with you right after camp, I gained 5 pounds and I got it under control. And this morning or yesterday morning, I weighed in and I was back down to my starting weight again. But I say, I gotta look at my data and say, what did I do different? Well, walking made a difference. More water made a difference. Eating to enough and throwing out food when I'm done. This morning, I went to my favorite fall festival and I planned a pumpkin funnel cake, which I only get once a year. I got it the very last thing as we were leaving the festival. I got lots of steps in, didn't overpurchase anything. And I ate a few bites and I threw out the rest. And that is huge for me because in the past I would have bought two and tried to warm them later and save them and savor them. Like, no, it's not as good. Just eat them when they're hot and fresh and crispy and throw the rest away. So that was huge for me. Throwing out food was big for me.
Well, again, I could ask you a thousand questions. How did you shift your mindset to, because if you said throwing out food was huge for you, so I'm guessing you had some rules around like don't waste food, fix your plate, whatever. How did you examine those beliefs and question them and then begin to think differently?
So for me, it started with a lot of feelings about my mom and working through some of that. My mom passed in 2021, but having to understand all the dynamics with her, and I was trying so hard to get her approval, and I felt like I never had it. And then at the very end, I did. But it was hard, right? Working through all that. She was narcissistic. She treated me and my sister like crap. And I had to work through that, right? So that was hard. Once she went, I realized she really was a blessing in my life, but it was so hard. So that was a big one for me. I will also tell you, I had gastric bypass in 2003. I lost about 150 pounds there, but then I started regaining it all. So for me, it was get that back in check and figure out why I'm eating. And then I found Corinne. So I joined in April 1st of 2021, and it really helped me a lot. I did every camp, mostly virtual, but I did every camp. I immediately got some great accountability partners. I found others who had gastric bypass and lost weight and maintained it. So, others like me. And then I kept losing. So to me, it was just, I don't want to go back to where I was, My 450 pound self is not even close to where I'm at now. I move better. I feel better. My clothes are better. All of it, right? So, and yeah, I have loose skin, but that's okay. And I got coached from Corinne on loose skin too, right? So it's just, reaching out to No BS when you need it. They're there for help. They are an amazing resource. If you can't find something, just go search in the replays. It's there. It's a gold mine. So, just looking at the resources, call a friend, call somebody else in OBS, you know, make those connections. It really makes a difference.
Yeah. How did you go about the process of, I heard you say more than once, you figured out why you eat. How did you go about that process of figuring that out?
Well, for me, it was, I just have memories of growing up and sneaking food. My mom didn't allow any of the treats. And she used to love reading and eating at the same time. And I started getting into that habit, but then I would start sneaking food. I would eat in the closet and hide the wrappers, right? That was when I was kindergarten, first grade, second grade, right? I'm not even sure how I found it at the time. But, and then as I grew, she was a full-time nurse. She worked nights. I was responsible for cooking and cleaning and taking care of my brothers and my sister. And I became the mom. So right. For me, it was learning. I was so responsible for everybody else. I stopped caring about me. And I would just keep eating and eating and eating. And then I had two sons and got married. And my mom always told me, if you don't lose weight, you'll never get a husband. That hurt a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just a lot of different life events that made changes in my life. And I started looking at it going, why can't I just love my life and love myself and learn how to do this, right? So it was a big change. And 2003 was probably the big turning point in my life. But then now I just feel like my life is so much better now. And I feel very blessed.
Amazing. Thank you, Lori. One thing that, you know, I heard you say when you were talking about like you, how you were figuring out why you eat is, I love the analogy of an iceberg, that the diets, you know, that tell us, you know, just do these things. It's like that tippy top of the iceberg, you know, even the four basics, it's that tippy top of the iceberg, but all of that bulk underneath the surface of the water is the reasons why we struggle to do the things that, like, I know what to do, but I'm just not doing it. Well, the reason why you're not doing it is that iceberg underneath. And everyone has a unique iceberg, just like you talked about your mom, sneaking food, being, you know, so just anyway, Lori, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Oh, really. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are a treasure trove of information and just, hey, you can do it. See, you're a walking, talking proof. And so thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you for letting me get coached.
Absolutely. Thank you for raising your hand. I appreciate it. So I'm going to move you back down to panelists.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori. Enjoy your time in Florida.
Thank you.
And before we go, we've got a question from Anonymous in the Q&A. Says, after 2 years with no BS and losing 80% of the weight I wanted to lose, congrats, that's great. I've only meal planned 2 or 3 times. What actions can I start with today and after today to start building the habit? I have time to meal plan, but I haven't been doing it. It's a great question, Anonymous. And so number one, the making a meal plan is a tool in your weight loss toolbox. It is a very helpful tool, but it's not necessarily meant to be like, if you don't plan, then you are a failure. Like, no, there's lots of ways to lose weight. You have proven it. You've already lost 80% of the weight you want to lose without making a meal plan. So what actions can you take? First of all, I would suggest, like, why don't you journal? What are the thoughts in your brain about when you make a meal plan? I could be wrong, but I'm guessing there's some, you know, underlying thoughts around when I make a meal plan, it feels like a diet. I feel restricted. Like, just surface those thoughts so you can see them, and then you can question them. Bring it to Ask Coaches. We can talk you through that. What other actions can you take? First of all, is making a meal plan helpful to you? For me, I only plan dinners, mostly because breakfast and lunch is basically the same every day, but I have some flexibility. But when I plan dinner, it is not to, you know, stay within the rules. It is more like I am doing my future self a favor so I don't have to decide, because I hate deciding. So I only do it once instead of 7 times. So think about, what is your mindset around why you plan? And then other kind of simpler actions is, if you want to go ahead and make a plan, give yourself, one of 3 options for lunch, 1 of 3 options for dinner. Like, I can have this, this, or that. This, you know, make it a good, better, best. I can have one of these three things, or, you know, 2 goods and a better, whatever. And then if you find yourself like, no, I don't want any of these 3 things, that's when you know there's like an emotional need going on that is not about hunger. So when you begin to practice making a plan, give yourself a couple of options. I was listening to MJ talk the other day, and she was like, when I was first doing my meal plans, it was like my menu for the day. Like, you go to a restaurant and there's a menu. You're not going to order every single thing on the menu. You're going to choose. But you have these options. And so you can make your meal plan as like, here's my list of options for the day. And I'm going to choose a couple depending on how I feel at lunchtime or how I feel at dinner time. And then again, if you recognize that you get to lunchtime and you're like, I don't want any of this, either you need to plan foods that you like that are not diety, or check in with your emotional needs, like what's kind of going on there. And again, so last month, I'm pretty sure, was all about the meal planning guide. You can go check out the meal planning guide. So go to the No BS website, and it's this month and No BS, which is under, I'm gonna have to check real quick, where is it? I think it's the second bullet. But this month and No BS, and you can look at, yeah, so it's under courses and it's the second one down. October is no excuses, but if you scroll down, you can see previous months. And so September meal planning made easy is the first one up there on the top. So go to courses this month in OBS and then scroll down to find meal planning made easy. Okie dokie. Team, it's been great to spend the day with you. Thank you. Happy Saturday. Happy October. When you think about assessing, when you think about reset, almost it's like a mini New Year's every month. Like, how did last year go? How did last month go? How can I look at it with kindness, compassion, and no judgment? Again, it's like that surfer. What looks like failure is actually a very necessary part of the process. Look at those off-plan eats, those pivots as like, what can I learn from them? They're not a problem. They are me learning in this skill of weight loss, because weight loss is a skill, just like learning to surf. It is a skill you can learn. And then we move forward, just brainstorm a whole bunch of action steps. If you ever need ideas, come to me and ask coaches. I'm, full of them. I don't know how many of them are good, but I got lots of ideas. And just treat it like an experiment. That inner 6-year-old, let her be curious as opposed to digging in her heels. And thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Saturday. Enjoy your weekend, and I will see you next time. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.